This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Today is Palm Sunday, the start of a week that the Christian Church calls holy, and it ends with Easter Day, the most significant moment in history for followers of Jesus Christ. This is when we remember that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was tortured and then executed, nailed to a cross and left hanging till he died. His death was brutal, but he was innocent of any crime. He'd been betrayed by one of his followers and convicted on trumped-up charges. Yet, as he was dying, Jesus publicly forgave his killers. Then, 3 days after his dead body had been taken down from the cross and sealed in a tomb, he came back to life, and over the following 6 weeks he appeared to hundreds of people. And 2,000 years later, his followers continue to reflect on the story, a story that begins with palm branches, a donkey, and cheering crowds. And so began the first Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a young donkey and was hailed as the Messiah. After 3 years of teaching and healing, Jesus had built a big following. Jerusalem was crowded with Jewish people arriving to celebrate Passover, something that Jewish people still do to this day.
During the early part of the week, Jesus spent most of the time with his best friends, the disciples. Controversial as ever, Jesus continued to tell the religious leaders that they'd got it all wrong. On Monday, he caused chaos in the temple as he overturned all the market stalls. The stallholders were conning their customers, raising exorbitant profits that went directly to the high priest. These crooks were cheating and misusing the temple, and Jesus just couldn't stand the corruption any longer. He also continued to tell stories about the love of God.
I offer you peace, I offer you love, I offer you friendship, I see your beauty. hear your need. I feel your feelings. My wisdom flows from the highest source. I salute that source in you. Let us work together for unity and love. Unity and love. I offer you peace. I offer you love.
The religious authorities feared how he was stirring up the crowds, so they challenged Jesus, questioning his authority. He answered by condemning their hypocrisy. By the middle of the week, the Jewish religious leaders and elders were so angry with Jesus and so fearful of his power and popularity with the people that they began plotting to kill him. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas, went to the chief priests and agreed to betray him to them. Jesus and the 12 disciples gathered on the Thursday evening to celebrate the Passover meal.
And they laughed and cried together as they reflected on the last 3 years of the work, the healings, the stories, the people they'd met, the crooked tax collectors, the lepers, the terrorists. The ex-prostitute had actually become one of Jesus' closest friends. And what about the miracles? After all, here was the man who'd walked on water and calmed a storm at sea. He'd helped the disturbed and the possessed. He'd even raised people from the dead.
During the evening, Jesus broke bread and shared it and a cup of wine with his disciples and asked them to continue doing exactly the same in memory of him. During the meal, Judas slipped away to be ready to lead the soldiers to wherever Jesus went after the meal.
After the meal, at around 9 o'clock at night, instead of walking home to Bethany, where they were staying, Jesus led them on a 1 mile journey to the Mount of Olives, eventually stopping in an olive grove called Gethsemane. It was then that the horror of what lay ahead really hit Jesus. He knew his death was imminent. He broke down and wept as he agonized over what was to come. He prayed for hours to prepare himself for the terrible ordeal that he was about to face. Even then, he had a choice. Within just 10 minutes, he could have been across the Mount of Olives and on the edge of the desert, safe and sound. No one would have ever found him.
But instead, Jesus chose the way of obedience. Minutes later, Judas arrived with the soldiers and the chief priests, and Jesus was arrested. After a mockery of a trial on baseless charges, Pontius Pilate, who really wanted to release Jesus, weakly bowed to public pressure and handed him over to be tortured and crucified.
Later that Friday morning at 9 a.m., Jesus arrived at the execution site called Golgotha, a small hill to the northwest of the city. It was here that they hammered 6.5-inch long nails into his hands and feet. As they nailed him to a wooden cross, he prayed for his murderers that God would forgive them. His clothes were divided among the soldiers, and a sign that said King of the Jews was hung above his head. The chief priests and soldiers continued to hurl insults and laugh at him as he hung on the cross, his body bleeding and broken. At noon on that first Good Friday, a strange darkness like an eclipse fell over the whole land. Then at 3 o'clock that afternoon, Jesus died. There was a sudden and violent earthquake, and the curtain in the temple tore from top to bottom. The darkening sky was a supernatural sign to the Romans and other non-Jews, while the tearing of the curtain had great religious significance for the Jews, as the curtain represented separation between God and man.
And now it was destroyed. The way back to God was open.
Thank you.
us all. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear. But we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. To pay the price of sin, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh dear, trust in his redeeming blood and try his works to do. There is a green hill far away outside.
This week is called Holy because it's our chance to reflect on something amazing, that God sent his Son, Jesus, into this world, a human being just like you and me, who actually did nothing but good, but who was prepared to suffer hideously and die an appalling death, to sweep away all the sin in our lives, and to offer to everyone a life-changing, loving relationship with God and the way to an everlasting life. But Lord, where are you now? Is the understandable question we all ask when life deals us and those we love the hardest, most bitter blows. Jesus, hanging on the cross, is saying to each one of us, in the most painful times of your life, I am with you. And death is not the end.
From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world. To be served, but to serve, and give your love that we might be. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now. To chose to bear his heart with sorrow was torn. Yet not my will, but yours, he said. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant. That flung stars into space, to cruel ends surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow.
Easter, Jesus rising from the dead, is a powerful message of hope for each one of us, and we'll be celebrating that on this programme next Sunday morning. And the subject of hope links this Holy Week story to my studio guest today, someone who takes every opportunity to visit the island that he loves, even if, as in this case, it's just for little more than a day. It's author, broadcaster and retired Baptist minister, Reverend Richard Littledale.
Richard, good morning. Welcome.
It's lovely to be back. I think there is a piece of elastic between here and North Wales and it keeps pinging me back. And I could not be happier.
Now, this is literally a brief visit, but great opportunity to catch up. Now, normally when we're together, I'm saying, come on, Richard, tell me about your latest book. But it's, come on, Richard, tell me about this adventure in podcasting, please.
Yeah, so I started podcasting just about a year ago. I did a first series all about friendship. I was researching a book at the time on the subject. You and I had made a programme about it too, so it all grew from there. Ended up doing, I think, 21 episodes or something. And then throughout the month of December, I did a daily podcast for Advent. And now I'm into another series of What Happened Next stories. And to date, I'm at about 3,200 downloads. So it's quite popular.
Richard, that's really exciting because you've written a number of titles. I think the last time I counted up, there's something like 16 or 17 books to your credit. This is really why you stepped away from Baptist ministry, from running a church, so that you could concentrate on your writing and on your broadcasting from BBC Radio 4 and for your local BBC Radio Wales. So you're obviously very passionate about books. I think it would be true to say that you probably haven't, I don't know, maybe you have sold 3,000 of any one title.
But I think that's unlikely, to be honest.
So did you think that this is the way communication is going forward now?
I don't know if I would push it that far. I think it's more that it's the right step for me at the moment. For me, it's a rather nice halfway house between the long and in-depth process of writing a book. And at the other end of that, you've got what we're doing, live radio. And sitting in between those two is podcasting. When I submit a book, it's at least 9 months until I see it again. With a podcast, I could have a conversation with you today. I could get on the plane tomorrow and think, oh, there's something I want to say about that. And by Thursday or Friday, I could have the podcast out. And there's a lovely immediacy to that. It allows me to respond to things. And in some instances, allows my listeners to respond too, which I'm loving.
You also make very good use of social media. When I say very good use, you're on Facebook and on Instagram regularly, but they're quality posts. You are a very keen photographer, a very good photographer, and so you often put little reels up. Some of them are quite lighthearted. Some of them are quite profound. There'll often be a beautiful photograph in there. So it's a complete package, isn't it?
Yes, in some ways, it's almost about curating your experience. You know, so I'm living in this beautiful place. My life has gone through enormous changes. It's about saying in a way that I hope is open and inviting, how can I share this with people? You know, not kind of that awful social media thing of, here is what I had for breakfast. You know, it's not that. But I think it is saying, I've been reflecting about this. Can I share it with you? And it's all very open. It's an invitation. And I think that applies to Instagram and Facebook. It applies to the podcast too, where I'm trying to take a tone, an audio tone that says, I've been thinking about this. Would you like to think about it with me? There's no pressure involved.
And you treat subjects that invite people to think more about it. You know, friendship and this What Happened Next, which is based also on a book of the same title, which is taking stories from the Bible and imagining what happened after the bit that we read in the Bible, what might have happened next. And it's setting people off on their own train of thought, isn't it?
It is, yes. And the next two podcast series down the road will be one on hope. You know, I've already recorded some pieces for that. And everyone's got something to say about hope, either because it fills them or it's eluding them. But they've got something to say about it. And, you know, in all of that, I'm seeing the story in other people and allowing them to tell it. And I am so loving that. You know, as a preacher for 37 years, we're not in a culture where people stand up and interrupt the preacher. It's a very one-way process. But I'm loving the fact that in this, I can make it happen. But so much of the golden material is what other people have got to say. Because they've got those little insights, they've got the anecdotes, which brings the whole thing to life.
We are all a mass of stories. It's just that we feel that somebody else's stories are more interesting than ours. So interesting that you say that hope is going to be something that you're going to be working on. It's been said that we can survive for quite a long time without food, a much shorter time without water, but we can't survive without hope.
Yeah, yeah. And if anybody listens to this in, you know, Kyiv, if anyone listens to this in parts of Tehran or parts of Tel Aviv, I think they would echo that and say, you know, whatever is going on, if I have hope, I am not entirely destitute. But if I lose hope, I've got nothing. And so I'm really looking forward to getting people to talk about that.
I wonder if you'll be going back to Rainer's, your favourite coffee shop close to where you live, where friendship is a key to all the people who go in there. I wonder if you'll be going in and chatting to the folk there.
I hope so. And I think sometimes you can almost visibly see people grow by putting a microphone in front of them and saying, I think you've got something worth saying. And they have. They have. And I found such a delight in that. You know, as a pastor for all those decades, of course you get to hear people's stories, but for the most part you can't tell them because you're bound by confidentiality. You are their pastor as well as their preacher. This is different because the podcasting experience is a very flat one. By that I mean everyone's on the same level. I'm the presenter in that I sort of make it happen, but my story is of no more worth than anybody else's that I'm telling. And I'm really enjoying that process of unlocking the stories. And what then happens is, so someone tells me their story, someone then listens to the radio program or the podcast and says, oh, that's a bit like my story, though mine's slightly different, let me tell you. And it causes this glorious ripple effect, which I just love.
Richard, thank you very much indeed. What's the simplest way of accessing your podcasts?
If you look for Bespoke_Words, wherever you would listen to a podcast, you will find it.
And similarly, we could search for that on Facebook and on Instagram too.
Yeah.
Now, that's actually only the first part of my conversation with Richard Littledale. The second part is about something different, and it'll feature in the programme next Sunday. But here's a little audio clue. Listen and see if you can work out what we'll be talking about.
I could pick the whole thing up in my hands, which is a reminder to me that the world I'm not in control of, God holds in his hands.
Any ideas? Join me next week to see if you're right. And my special thanks to musicians Naomi Bedford and Paul Simmons, who just about an hour ago very kindly sent me their brand new version of There Is a Green Hill Far Away. It's not commercially available, having been specially produced for a particular ministry, but they've allowed me to include it this morning, and I'm very grateful. Now, our Easter notice board is always a big problem, but a good one, because there are so many special events and services over the coming days and on Easter Sunday that even if there was time to include everything, it would just be really confusing. So I've got some information for you now, and there'll be much more on our two notice boards during sundown tonight from 9 o'clock. So let's start with today's services, and Mr. Paul Alford will once again be the preacher in Port Erin Gospel Church at both their services today at 11:30 and 7 p.m, and all are welcome. Ballabeg Chapel invite you to join them for their Palm Sunday procession with pony and palms, starting this afternoon at 2:30. Weather permitting, there'll be an outside procession, but there'll be an all-age worship in the chapel, whatever the weather. There's a special service for Palm Sunday in Mount Tabor, Port St. Mary Methodist Church, tonight at 6:30. It's an evening of well-known hymns, gospel readings, poetry from Manx bard Michael Manning, and solos from Christine Tear and Ari Isinger, with refreshments to follow. On to the week ahead now, and tomorrow morning it's the final Lenten walk with Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett. The last one for this year will be a circular walk starting and finishing at Christ Church at the Dune, the church on the main road between Ramsey and Laxey. The walk is gentle, between 2 and 3 miles in length, and if you'd like to join in, simply meet at the Dune Church tomorrow morning at 9:45 for a 10 a.m. start. And the walk ends back at the Dune for refreshments and will finish no later than 12 noon. On Maundy Thursday, April the 2nd, you're invited to the Prom Church on Lock Promenade here in Douglas at 6:30 as they recreate the Passover, which became the Last Supper. No need to book, just come along and be made welcome. Selby Methodist Church invite you to celebrate Holy Week and Easter with them, starting with a service of prayer and reflection on Good Friday morning at 10:30. Staying in the north, and Sandygate Chapel have an afternoon service on Good Friday. It's at 3 o'clock and will be led by Reverend Chris Belfield. A work that is very rarely heard in the Isle of Man is St. Luke's Passion by Johann Sebastian Bach. Meadowside Choral Society are performing an abridged version lasting just 1 hour at Arbury Parish Church on Good Friday evening at 6:30. Julian Power will be conducting, and the accompanist is Aaron Fleet. And there'll be some hymns for the congregation to sing too. Selby Methodist Church have an Easter fun day on Saturday, April the 4th, from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Admission is £5 per child, and that includes lots of craft activities, a treasure hunt, biscuit decorating, an Easter gift, and a soft drink and biscuits. For adults, there'll be tea, coffee, homemade cakes and fresh sandwiches to order. And as all children must be accompanied, please, why not stay and have your lunch? And speaking of lunches, they're on offer in Glenmay on Saturday too, because it's their monthly craft market, open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre. Homemade produce, handicrafts and so much more by local artists. Entry is free, and homemade light lunches, including those famous bacon baps, will of course be on sale. And that's all that we have time for now, but there'll be lots more notice board news when I come back tonight at 9 o'clock with sundown. And I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for a great selection of easy listening music, plus your requests and dedications. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed and meaningful Holy Week, and a very good morning.